What is going down, everyone? It's time for Mojo Break, the hype, episode number 241. Lots of topics to discuss here. Impeccable Basketball is here. High end, C-Rad's favorite. He loves it. He's got an impeccable tattoo. He probably won't show you where it's at, but he does have one. He'll talk about how great Impeccable is. We are going to talk about the CeeDee Lamb Leaf stuff, which I know is the topic of all conversations. NFL rookie premiere. We were in LA over the week, last week, and we saw some of the guys and share some of our opinions on that. And I have to tell you guys, amid some controversy around here, and you guys will probably hear some of the stories, this is probably the last time you guys are going to see me here on the hype. And you probably won't be seeing me here on the breaks either. So, sorry. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Cool. What's going on? Actually, I was like, man, I'm like, first thing I'm going to say is, how about Cody with that San Jose Churros hat? Like,
now, I hate to be that guy, but this is actually the Beer Batter edition.
Ooh,
hat.
We had to correct
you. I do also have a Churros hat.
Oh,
thanks.
Okay, take the camera off you, smart ass.
It is a sweet hat, though.
It is. I was going to give you a compliment.
Thank you.
Doug, then Doug drops a bomb.
Yeah.
Bob's, so, what's up, man? You, taking your talents to South Beach?
Yeah. I think I'm gonna go break some prism with some folks over
in
Florida.
You're gonna cut off. You want me to?
I'm just gonna say
want me to jump on you right now? What do you want to do?
You guys will figure it out soon enough. You know, you guys will.
Taking your talents. Well, cool, man. Well, see, Red.
I just figured I'd save it for the show and catch you off guard because natural reaction is the best.
Yeah.
Sweet. What are you up to?
I guess I'm moving on up.
Sweet. I like it.
It's because I refuse to sign some redemptions like CeeDee Lamb is really what's going on. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wait, you're in the litigation with
I am. Yeah, so I can't really talk about it.
You know, I figured it was like not just CeeDee Lamb. I figured it was somebody with a little bit more clout in the industry. And because why would Brian, CeeDee Lamb, but you have a Doug Otto in there. And I get it, man. We put those buybacks together. It's tough to get a hold of Doug to get those autographs.
Yeah. Hey, proven on eBay, my first auto that went up went for $130. That was my first. That was when I was a prospect.
That was 100% for charity.
No, it was 100.
No, it's that. And it is probably in a PC somewhere. Actually, I think I know
Smart,
where it's at.
Smarty had to outbid everybody to get it. It was so in demand.
Yeah.
And it had a unique inscription. I don't remember what it was.
Taco Bell, I think.
Oh, yeah, it was a Taco Bell.
I think it was a Taco Bell inscription.
Yeah, my favorite fast food. Might be my favorite food. But we got to talk about Impeccable, though, guys. And we have to talk about the breaks that are going to be going down at MojoBreak.com because Impeccable is quickly becoming one of my favorites. I'll tell you why it's one of my favorites, but it's been C-Rad's favorite, that and Revolution, for a while. And we're going to have tons of team breaks available on MojoBreak.com. We'll probably be breaking some more on Whatnot via team auction. But PYT, if you want to go in and see if your team's available, I'd head over to MojoBreak.com right now. Our site is set up like a reverse auction, so you can get some great deals on some teams. Go in there and see what's left and grab one of those teams and maybe hit one of these golds, like these Luka golds. How many golds have you hit in your career?
Oh, man.
Hitting a grand slam.
Okay, so Impeccable came out in 2015 with football first, no basketball that year. So it's not as much as you would think, less than 10.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is a tough pull. And in the beginning, it was an even tougher pull because they were just one-on-ones.
Now they're number 10, right?
Yeah, now they're number 10, so I have pulled a couple more in basketball over the years. I think football is still a one-of-one, but it's just a half a bar now.
Right. I would like the basketball to have a one-on-one, like a different medal or keep the gold of some sort.
Yeah.
Or you can go platinum.
Yeah.
That was the next step I thought they would have taken by now because we are like into the, you know, the seventh, eighth year of Impeccable, but they haven't done it yet.
As far as we can only hope.
They say it for eminence. You know,
I'm a big fan of platinum.
It's my – I mean, look – I'm decked out with it. Well, I don't have any of it, but if I could afford platinum, I'd be decked out in it.
Would you? A whole suit of it?
If I could.
I mean, one of the things I love about Impeccable Basketball is the fact that it's five autos, usually on card, and they remain pretty true to that. I know during the Pandy, they became stickers, but this year they're back to being on card, which is nice.
You know what? If I recall, weren't they like it was impressive last year that they, I think it was still all on card last year.
Maybe it was just the
it was
year.
Like the only product that was all still on card.
Wow. Yeah. And the mixture, I mean, you're usually going to get at least one vet. Now, I mean, you're going to get Ricky Rubio and guys like that and mm-hmm. Michael Olakande. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've
but they're
got
all on
the,
card.
Yeah, they're all on card. And you've got, you know, Chance at Kareem and you've got Oscar Robertson in the set, Jerry Lucas. So you got some great legends in the set. And it's five autographs and you got the metal card. And they've also included the rookie base now, which is great, too. So mm-hmm. it's quickly climbing up the ranks of high-end basketball. Where would you rank it amongst high-end basketball?
Man, you know, like adding to what you were saying, too, people always complain that the high-end stuff is like there's a bunch of stickers and single-color relics and stuff. Impeccable don't give you no fluff. It's just like straight up. Like that's why I feel like it is one of the better high-end products. It's just like straight up. You get five autographs. You had a chance at these big, you know, silver and gold bars. So in terms of ranking it, it's still going to be probably like fourth or fifth on the list of high end, but man, if they make a couple of adjustments and they add like maybe like a laundry tag or something like that, something even more special. I don't know if I necessarily want them to add the Logo Man to this product because then it would obviously jump the price up a lot, and then you know what I mean. But I think it's getting close. It's getting close to being one of the better high end products.
Yeah. Where would you rank it, Dan?
It's up there. I mean, it's definitely top five as far as high end products, but I will tell you what they added this year. That 75th anniversary this subset is...
Oh, did you pull one?
I pulled one.
I didn't get one.
I pulled the Magic, the one that's actually on the
really?
On the
it
slide
live?
There. It, yeah, it's
wow.
live. It was live in person. That slide does not serve it justice.
Was it numbered to 75?
Should be. I would imagine all of them are, right?
I think it was numbered below... I think it was less than 75. Mm. But it... pops. It is like it is one of the best looking designs I've seen in a basketball
and
release.
And that's kind of like impeccable foil, right? They use that kind of in Donruss now, but like that is where it originated.
That's where
right?
they usually use it in, yeah.
It pops, and the Jerry West logo is it pops as well. It's a nice
card. It's the only year we're going to be able to get this 75th anniversary obviously designed too, so it's that's something to think about if you're chasing that set. You want to make the whole subset, well, which is a lot of people like to do.
25 years we'll do the 100, right?
Yeah.
You can always do 76. Ain't nothing wrong with 76. It doesn't have the same ring as 75, but
what episode of the Hype would that be? That would be like 1500 or something.
For 100 years in the NBA?
Oh, boy. Let's not talk about that.
Still no ad rolls. And still no revenue generated. How do we do it?
Oh, man, we're still here.
How do
still
we do it?
Still kicking.
Do it for love.
For the love of the hobby. But maybe remember, I may or not be here for next week, so we'll see. We'll see.
No, you're already in South Beach, man. Like I said, taking your talents
taking
to Miami.
My talents.
Oh man,
yeah, I am gonna have one of those shows where I decide where I'm gonna go. We're gonna put it. We're gonna
you're
go.
Gonna
live.
Be, you're gonna be you're gonna be in that $100 million facility cool, over there in Florida.
We could actually do it as a live show. You can have I don't know about six, maybe eight people live.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe 10. Come on,
I know
man.
One for sure will be there.
Yeah.
I know one person will be there for sure.
Yeah. SB.
My shout only out, shout out to
just,
baller.
Just waiting for that live show again. Waiting for that live show.
But impeccable, and I don't want to rip on Flawless because I know Flawless is, you know, one of the top dogs. But I love the coloring. There's more color. The card looks better to me in a way because
it's the canvas design.
Yeah,
man.
It's like that matte finish with the more color in the background. Where the Flawless is just white.
It's just all
you know,
white,
and there's nothing really much going on with
How
the Flawless.
We just say it. Just say it. Just say it's the best high end product they make. Just say it's number one. Move on to the next segment.
Well, and the thing about Flawless, too, is that you've got, like, this narrative of, like, Flawless being, like, you have, like, this new group of collectors that are trying to really say that Flawless is better than NT, you know, and it's not. I mean, you have breakers out there that are refusing to sell NT to their customers because they think it's horrible when, in fact, you just seen another Luka sell for, like, $600,000, $700,000 or something like that, right?
Okay.
From NT. But they're trying to play the narrative that the Flawless is game used, and so we're bringing back that argument. But at the end of the day, collectors don't care if it's game used or not, in my opinion. So at least high-end collectors, they don't care. They just want a nicer patch. But I don't know. Impeccable, I mean, for the price point. So I think that you get better boxes of Impeccable than you get for, like, Flawless and NC sometimes.
Is it safe to say that as far as high-end basketball, is Impeccable the most underrated product.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we said. I think we made the same argument last year too.
I mean, how about out of all the basketball releases, it may not be the most underrated, because I mean, we got to think this is a product that on the secondary market has gone up tremendously.
Here's what we're going to title this video: is Impeccable the most underrated basketball hobby product? And we want you guys to comment below. I am almost at the point now where I might want this over Immaculate. I know that's blasphemous.
I
mean,
I like some Immaculate, but
I mean, the only, if you like what C-Rad said, if there was Logo Man's,
then we can't do it.
We
can't be putting Logo Man's and everything. Next thing you know, like, you know, Chronicles comes out, it has Logo Man's and Revolution.
Yeah.
Speaking of Logo Man's, I noticed that the jerseys that they were wearing, I don't know if they were only playoff jerseys, it's like the Logo Man was like hidden behind the Nike logo. Did anybody else notice that on like Steph's jersey?
Didn't notice that.
Is that just the undershirt that they're wearing though that has the NBA logo?
Yeah. I think it is the undershirt. I think the Logo Man is on the side. It's on the back.
On the neck. The back of the neck.
Yeah. I think they're on the back of the neck or the shorts or yeah. But I think that's where they usually get it from.
Where do you rank Impeccable, Cody?
I think kind of in line with you guys. Although I am looking at that 75th anniversary autos, that definitely elevates it this year. They look great. I should mention I do have it. I've got the checklist up here. So some of them are numbered to 75. I think these are mostly pulled from that NBA Top 75, the 75th anniversary,
which
team.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah. You're looking at.
So you're not going to get a Clay.
No Clay in that. No. Yeah. So yeah. Famously,
it was 76.
Not going to get Dwight Howard. But you could get a Lillard. But like guys like Gary Payton, Dominique Wilkins are like number to 75, but then the like Larry Birds, the
bigger names.
Yeah, the Magic Johnsons, Kevin Garnett, Jason Kidd also number to 25.
KG, I would love that card, bro.
Just tells me that those guys to sit down and have an autograph session are maybe a little bit pricier.
Yes. Absolutely. Shaq number scarce. To 25.
So you're saying Gary Payton is number to 75?
Number to 75, GP. Gary Payton, yeah.
I was saying, I think like if they add one more special thing, it could elevate it into that fourth spot behind the Flawless NT and Immaculate. Like say like if sponsorship patches were exclusive to like Impeccable or something
which
like that.
Which they did with Opulence, but they didn't. Opulence hasn't came out.
Yeah, now you can find the sponsored patches in multiple products, but like I feel like Impeccable needs like one more thing that's special to that product.
And Immaculate has like the shoe relics.
The shoes, yeah, the giant shoe relics.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It is. I mean, you get like the gold and the silver bars,
which
is unique for Impeccable, but what else does Impeccable have?
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to make another blasphemous statement here, but I'm like, if I had to choose a hobby box right now, I think Prism would be like 15th for NBA for me.
Oh, I don't know about 15. Maybe
it's
fifth.
Just I don't
maybe,
know. Maybe because
fifth or sixth. I don't know. About 15th.
You know what it is? It's the retail that's just ruined.
You're talking Prism draft?
No, I'm talking about regular Prism.
Wow.
It's just I don't know. We didn't like shiny stuff before the big boom, and now I'm back to being like, maybe I don't like the shiny stuff anymore. Because you see all these auctions for these silvers. And now another thing to talk about, which we didn't put in the show, but there's four silvers in football now. Four silvers a hobby box. So they're changing every year. Basketball silvers are just, I mean, you could just see them plummeting. You know what I mean? I know there's low-numbered stuff, and the black Prism will be cool, but like, I think the oversaturation in Prism for me has made it, I'd rather chase patch autos.
I get that. I get that point. I would still. I
know I'm not in the majority.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. That's old school right there. You're going. You're going way out there, man. It's old homie collecting right there.
It's. I just think the overproduction of Prism, and I know it's going to be the standard.
So you prefer
and I know it's
like an RPA gold parallel over a gold Prism?
Yes.
Okay. No, you wouldn't.
Am I the only one in here? Nobody else agrees with me?
I mean, I'll take a gold Prism over pretty much, besides an NTRPA, I'll take a gold Prism rookie.
Oh, I thought you meant NTRPA. Yeah, I'd take a gold NTRPA for sure.
I mean, like, aesthetically, I get what you mean, but I think this is one where I'm like, well, the market has dictated what people like, and until that shifts, like, yeah, I can't question.
Prism to me is like, you know, everybody liked Baja Man, Who Let the Dogs Out? It's like they played it so many times.
Who's this everybody talk?
Back in 1998.
Let's be honest. We all wanted to know in 1999, 2000, who let the dogs out. We still don't know. To this day, we don't know.
And Prism has become Who Let the Dogs Out.
I don't know.
Wow.
You know what?
Or Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy.
I just want to isolate that quote one more time. Prism basketball is the Who Let the Dogs Out of the hobby.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, and to think we just went out and spent so much money on aftermarket Prism.
But that's football. I'm talking about basketball.
Oh, well, that's football.
Yeah, football's fine.
You know, the release where they change, and we just went over it, they change every single year how many silvers. 2017, every rookie is silver. 2018, one silver a box. 2019,
I think it's still one.
It was it one?
Still one.
And then 2020, I think one of those years they went to two. And now we're at four. Why don't we just go where we just... how confusing are we going to possibly make this be for the collector?
And that goes along with basketball because the silvers took popularity when there really wasn't any retail. Now there's retail and they're in retail. And, you know, you can't bank on them being X amount of population every year.
But look at that. Like, say from an analytical standpoint, you look at a pop report and you're... looking at 2017 football and you're like Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And you look at the pop report and it's like something insane, right? Then you're like, okay, I'm gonna go
but there really isn't
I'm gonna go 2018 Baker, right? And there's one per box. You're like, man, did they like they either made a ton of 2017 or they made absolutely zero of 2018.
And we don't have the numbers in front of us. I believe there's only like 1700 PSA 10 Patrick Mahomes silvers. So that's not a lot for them being one almost one a box.
There has to be a lot less 2018.
Yes. I mean, well, it's one per box in 2018.
Yeah,
there has to be. They made a lot more in 2018 than they made in 17. So
what do you prefer? You prefer there be every rookie be a silver or make it extremely rare to get a silver?
I'm leaning towards more serial numbered stuff. I mean, the silvers are,
obvious answer. I mean, that's like, of course, yeah. But wasn't the question.
when they have 17 different SKUs and 150 different parallels in Prism now.
What's going to be interesting is that when Fanatics takes over and they bring back Chrome, inevitably bring back home
right,
Chrome.
Right, see how that affects.
It's going to be interesting seeing how much silvers they're going to be, or refractors, how often you're going to be able to pull those out of their boxes.
Yeah.
Go to mojobreak.com and pick up your Prism football, PYTs. I mean, Doug will be breaking it for you. He loves it. I mean, he does. He truly does love it.
I didn't like Prism basketball. I didn't say anything about football.
Football
is where Prism is supposed to be.
Football is like a deep cut on the Baja Men's debut album, assuming. Yeah, it's one that, you know, still is
a song that nobody's ever heard. Yeah. Because there is no such thing as a deep cut from the Baja Men.
Will you be playing, and you can watch on Whatnot, where you can be playing Who Let the Dogs Out.
Exactly.
On repeat.
You know what? I'm going to have to bump that Baja Men album now just to prove that there's a deep cut on there.
This is not a joke. I was at a Giants game over the weekend, and I heard a good amount of way more than I'd expect in the year 2022 of Who Let the Dogs Out.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So.
It's coming back.
Don't know what it means.
What's that line? That flea-infested scoundrel.
Yeah, flea. Something. Yeah, flea-infested mongrel. Like that. Yeah. Good. Yeah. What a time. 2000. Man. Weird time.
No, I think Prism.
Well, I mean, I guess it was
Prism,
2000.
No, I figured it out. Prism football is more like Mambo Number 5.
That was a big song.
Not sure that's the compliment you think it is.
That was a big song. And the thing about Lou Bega is that he had a crossover for everybody. There's like 4 year olds that like that song up to like 94 year olds.
If we're going like 90s one hit wonders, maybe Thong Song, because Cisco at least had a little bit of success beforehand. But, true. You know, maybe there's that.
I don't know about any of these songs compared to Prism football.
These all feel like a giant reach.
What would you guys compare Prism football to? Put it in the comments below. Maybe you'll win, I don't know, something. We'll come up with something.
A gold record of the Baja.
Yes.
If we can find it.
I don't know if it went gold.
Oh, it definitely
at gold
will.
And platinum. It's tough yeah. to go. It's oh, tough dude. To go gold. They don't hand out gold records here, just to anybody.
Guess that price. Guess that sales. Guess those sales.
I think it went platinum.
I'm gonna say, dude, it
diamond, dude.
4 million records. Four million.
4 million.
10 million.
Ten million. It went diamond.
We're gonna find out right now.
I'm looking it up.
What are you gonna say?
Oh man,
what are you gonna say before you look it up?
I don't think it went gold.
Oh come on,
dude. 500,000.
Yeah.
You don't think it sold 500,000?
I don't think so. I mean, it was the
total
era.
Total lifetime sales.
It was the era of buying CDs. I get that.
Total lifetime sales or the year that it came out?
Well, I think you could only find lifetime sales. I don't think they have. I mean, I'm sure you could.
All right, so what's everybody saying? What's everybody saying?
I said 4 million.
I said 10 million.
Okay.
400,000, man. You got. Did you buy it?
No.
Yeah, you bought it, didn't you? And you bought it.
Oh, no. I got it off Napster.
No, you.
I might have gotten it off.
Not going to act like I didn't get it.
I got it off LimeWire.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Not going to lie. U.S., it did not certify in the U.S. The highest it reached was number 40 on the Billboard Hot 100. How is that possible?
It sucks.
Doesn't make any sense.
But it was huge.
Sucks.
Okay, what about worldwide, though?
Oh, you can't.
Australia, it went platinum. So, New Zealand,
so
Sweden, and the
did
UK,
not,
it went
in
platinum.
The US,
it was a big hit.
In the U.S., it did not go platinum.
That doesn't make any sense.
It reached number 40.
What's the total sales?
No.
Lifetime sales in the U.S.
They're so low, they didn't even print
it's not even on here. The U.S. is not even on here.
It went aluminum.
No.
Aluminum. Wow.
I mean, the late 90s, early 2000s was peak record
right
sales.
Here.
Oh, wow. That was right. See? Three million
copies in the United States. Becoming certified triple platinum.
Well, then there's something. That
was in 2014, so I'm probably at 4 million.
Shocker. I think all those, it was like 2014, a big year for record sales for the Baja Men.
Wikipedia let me down, shocker.
Because Dan probably went in there and changed it right now. You could edit that right now on the fly.
No, if it was me, it would have literally said 20,000 copies went aluminum.
All right. Well, who let CD out to sign his redemptions? Because
nobody.
Because Leaf was like, you know what? You ain't gonna sign your redemptions, and I'm gonna sue you.
Yeah.
Brian Gray's been known to have a lot of lawsuits pending, and you know, it's kind of a split room. I'm glad CD signed, so we don't have to speculate anymore. But I think this is in our career of doing sports cards, which spans 12 years. I think this is the first athlete that was sued by a company for autographs. So a lot of collectors rejoiced at the news and said this should happen more often. We had a group of people saying, like, who does Brian Gray think he is? Like, CeeDee Lamb's a star. He doesn't have to sign his cards. As far as we know, there was an agreement put in place. And it's kind of like if you hired somebody to do some work on your house and they sign an agreement and they didn't show up. You have some litigation.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know if you guys heard of this thing. It's called a contract.
Yeah, they all signed contracts for a set amount of dollars, and CeeDee Lamb wasn't coming through, and collectors were left wondering where their $20 autos of CeeDee Lamb were. Well, rest assured, he got them right here on card, signed on card, which maybe they're $35 now since they're not a sticker, but he addressed the issue.
Oh, it happened.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all you got to do.
It worked. Brian Gray with the win.
Throw them elbows. I like it.
What do you
Get
think?
There,
what do you think? Of the, what do you guys think of the situation, Dan? I'll start with you. What do you think about
Man,
this whole thing?
We've talked about this before when it comes to redemptions and Panini. More so, Panini they've had a relationship with the NFLPA and the leagues, and we've always said, man, like if you're Panini, you wouldn't be able to use this leverage because these players talk.
Yeah,
and if one of, like, say, a guy you got drafted with, say you are friends with them, you went to the same school with them, and he's like, hey, this manufacturer just, like, they're trying to sue me about these redemptions and these autographs that I owe them, that is going to trickle down to other players. And when it's their turn to sign a contract for autographs, they're going to be like, no. And they're going to tell the PA that we don't want to do this. And the PA doesn't want manufacturers suing their players. So it just doesn't work for anybody. Right. I'm surprised. I mean, it took some stones from Brian Gray to do this. I don't think it was a smart play on his part.
What's the over and under? You think he gets more autograph deals from CeeDee Lamb?
Never again. I don't. And also, I mean, that's obvious. But does CeeDee Lamb talk to other players coming out in future years? Other receivers, maybe works out with.
And he went
season.
To Alabama, right?
Yeah, works out in the offseason. Are those players are going to be? Are they going to be inclined to sign a NIL deal or anything like that? I mean,
and I'm sure
money's money. If you got the right money, I guess like you'll do it. But
I'm sure CeeDee Lamb's agent has other players as
absolutely.
Well, right?
And so. you think the agent wants their player? I mean, in a perfect world, agent wants their player to fulfill these contracts and never have to talk or hear about it again. But they also don't want their clients to be in litigation. So,
but I mean, to let's just say you were Brian Gray from Leaf, and you know, I don't know how many he had that were outstanding. Like, I would say amongst the, what does he have, like 4 or 5 products, he probably had 1,500 autos, I would say, that were probably due, if I had to put a number on it without knowledge. So, you know, he's on the hook for full value of $30, maybe $40 for that card with collectors. So Brian Gray is possibly on the hook for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in autos that are due to collectors. So as a business owner, do you just write that off?
I mean, it as a manufacturer, is it a cost of doing business? Can you figure out some type of replacement for your customers?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, you definitely don't want to burn a bridge, right? And
But people are going to want comparable value, and I mean, be on the rookie class.
You just gave everybody what the value.
Yeah,
is.
But I mean, so Jamar Chase, maybe Debo. I mean, maybe not. CeeDee Lamb is probably a top 5 rookie wide receiver auto over the last 5 years. So you'd have to get a top tier guy to replace it with, right? Or maybe a lower level quarterback. I don't know.
Do you think it's a good business move to sue a player? What do you think?
I don't know how many. I mean, I'm assuming that there was a lot of phone calls and emails and.
Yeah, I would hope. I would hope that the first plan of action wasn't to. I doubt it was to be like, here's your papers. You're being served. You're getting sued. But the leverage did work. That tactic did work.
Yeah. Because now he's like, I don't want to have to go to court. I'll just sign.
Yeah.
So, but we don't know the ramifications for his business.
I think Leaf can get away with it. I don't think Panini can get away with it. I don't think Topps can get away with it.
But if you're in negotiations with a player and you're like, well, I heard you sued somebody, it's like, well, as long as you sign your autographs, you're not going to get sued. Like, if you, long as you deliver.
You know how many autographs these players sign.
Yeah.
CD was probably like, as I don't recall CeeDee Lamb being a redemption in too many Panini products.
No.
So he probably was like, I've done everything I need to do. I'm done.
But I mean, to credit CeeDee too, I mean, he was, if you remember, the draft night was one of the more famous draft nights where he had to hit the phone out of his girl's hand because it was a pandy draft. So maybe there was a period of time where he wasn't able to actually physically sign him because people weren't going anywhere, and then he got busy, and now he got a taste of more money. He's like, why did I? And I know he signed the agreement, but like, he was like, why do I sign for $20 when I can go to Nike and get a $10 million deal or something, you know? So I think that's what happens.
Or honestly, like, in his mind, we don't know. Maybe he was like, I feel like I've already done my autograph signing for my rookie season. Maybe he was like, I don't remember signing a contract with Leaf. Like, you don't, like, these players, do they, the cards get put in front of them. Do you think they really know?
And he may have just signed something that his agent told him to sign.
You know, yeah, do you think they know what manufacturer or what set of cards they're signing at any given time?
It could have even been DocuSign, too. You never know, right?
Yeah, I mean, he may have been like, cool, like, my autograph deal. And he's thinking Panini. He's like, my autograph deal, I'm done with that. And then he sees these Leaf cards, and he's like, no, man, I already finished that. Like, I'm done with that.
Yeah, because he was a rookie 2 years ago.
He doesn't know the difference between the Leaf and Panini cards.
Yeah, and to give
I'm
you
sorry,
guys,
I know we do. I know when you're like in this industry and in this hobby, like, it goes without saying, you know what the different manufacturers are, but these players probably don't.
And, you know, what these companies and the NIL deal changes things. This was before an NIL deal. But what we've heard from manufacturers and players is these guys don't get their check until their first day of training camp. So there's a period of time from when they get drafted in April till about like June before they get any money. So a lot of them have to already start putting out money for trainers, for maybe chefs, for marketing, for all this. So they actually have to put money out there that maybe they don't have. So these sports card companies actually come up in a sense because they're like, Mr. Fifth Rounder here, you know, here's a dollar. You're going to sign 10,000 autographs. And that's $10,000 to somebody that may not have any money, especially if they grew up in an area that they were, you know, impoverished and they didn't have any money. So $10,000 might help pay for their workouts, might pay for their trainer. So they sign these deals early, especially right out, and then they have to wait until they get their first check. So might have been a situation with CD where he's like, okay, yeah, I'm getting $5 an auto. That's cool. And then it's like, well, now I got my check. I don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe he's getting better money by just showing up to somewhere in Dallas, right?
I think it actually, and another thing, throw another spin on it, a lot of these players probably get advances from their agencies.
But probably with interest.
Probably. So they basically, yeah, they may get like, you know, $100,000 to go get set up, get an apartment, buy a car, like have some spending money. You're going to get drafted, but you're going to basically pay that back. Like the agencies are going to be, like the agents are going to be the first ones to get their money back when you sign a deal. So the agents are probably pushing for these type of deals because they're already on the hook.
Yeah.
They're owed money. So they're like, let's get these deals in place because we need to get those checks rolling in before you get your first game check.
Yep. What are your thoughts on the whole thing, Cody?
The thing that struck me is that it's like, this is the right thing to do for the customer, clearly. I mean, because people, you know, what do people want? Like, I think the thing that people probably complain about the most in the hobby is not getting those redemptions. And it's like, it's great that the collectors are going to get their redemptions. That's great. But I think in the long run, it's like, is anybody, like you guys said, like, did CeeDee Lamb know Leaf at the time? Did he know the difference between Leaf, Panini, Topps, whatever? Probably not. Does he now? You bet he knows now. And now there's also, we know about the stuff with Giannis in the past. And I wonder now, as Fanatics takes over and has more control, are these athletes going to be a lot more careful about where they sign? They're going to have certain reputations for certain companies. So it's a double-edged sword. It's like, this is good for the customers that they're getting their autos, but in the future, are athletes going to shy away from saying, oh yeah, I'll go throw, you know, I'll do some autos for Leaf or whatever? Maybe it doesn't, but I think as Fanatics starts to have more control in the hobby, that maybe they decide, well, I'll just go with them, because that's not, Fanatics is a catch-all where it's like, it's not just cards, it's the memorabilia, and it's all that stuff as well. So it's easier just to go to a one-stop shop rather than have this contract, this contract, this contract.
And you don't know, I mean, I'm not sure if he was a, because the Leaf has the All-American Bowl set where these guys are actually in college, and he's had that for years. It may be a situation where he contacted him first, and CeeDee Lamb didn't have any idea. And this is all just speculation on my behalf. It's not any truth behind it. But we don't know if he was like, you know, $3 an auto. And at the time, CeeDee Lamb's like, yeah. And then he signed a contract after he got drafted for $3 an auto, too. And then Panini's like, well, you're a first-round receiver, $15. So he might have been like, well, I'm screwed. I've been getting screwed by Leaf, so I'm not going to sign those, even though he signed a contract, right? I mean, we don't know. We just know that a lot of Leaf stuff comes out first, right? Mm-hmm. So he may be now, like you mentioned, to add your point, Fanatics and profit sharing, and these players are like getting paid by Fanatics and their jersey sales and stuff like that. And they're like, this guy over here is like paying me nothing, and he wants me to sign this many? Like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Brian and there's players coming out of Alabama, and you know these players talk, right? If there's another receiver coming out of Alabama, probably going to contact CeeDee Lamb to be like, okay, cool, I'm going to get drafted. Like, tell me the ropes. And CeeDee Lamb will probably be like, well, this one card company basically tried to sue me.
Well, so, what's also like, crazy is they're both in Texas, too. So, I mean, from Leaf standpoint, it's like, you're right here, bro. You can.
I get it. But, like, do you see Alabama receivers – pre-draft signing with Brian Gray.
You know, I mean, there was another Alabama receiver that had an issue as well. Julio Jones didn't sign for people.
Yeah. I mean, so. and Julio Jones and CeeDee Lamb probably talk. Yeah. I mean, the wide receivers, same position, same school. Like, I don't see without a doubt that they talk.
And now with the NIL, especially, like, Bama is the one school where, like, those athletes are going to do very right. well with the NIL deals. So, yeah, I think it's even more incentive to
You're right.
not
he may,
pursue these deals like they were in the past.
He may be hearing about the deals these guys are getting that they're still playing. And he's like, right. wait, I'm getting nothing.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts, C-Red?
I mean, pretty much everything what you guys have been saying. I think for the customer, like what Cody was saying, for the customer is great. Leaf did the right thing by their customers by going out and getting these redemptions filled, right?
Yeah.
But as we've talked about a million times on the show that you guys were alluding to, Panini and Topps can't do this. Like, they just can't. It just
Players Association.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully, and like you were saying, CeeDee Lamb comes from Alabama where they stay in school for like 3-4 years. So, like, the guys that are coming up now through Alabama, they're definitely going to talk to him.
Yeah.
Because they've all been teammates before, right, with all these guys, and Alabama's a huge school. So, this kind of like, you're right, we haven't really ever seen this before, dude, in the hobby, right? So, it is kind of a, on Brian Gray's part, like, it's kind of like bravo, but at the same time, it's like, oh, like, what is this?
What
like
kind of ramifications? Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like, we get back to the whole Panini thing, and people will say, I've had redemptions since 2014 that have never been fulfilled. Why don't you guys do something about it? Look, Leaf did.
Yeah.
Leaf, like,
but they
again,
can.
They Panini does that one lawsuit, and the PA is like, we hold all the leverage. Like, yeah. you do that, and you are done. Like, we just won't. We won't have you. You just won't get any autographs.
Yeah. So for collectors, I want to, if collectors that are listening, like, this is a big win for collectors that you guys are getting redemptions. Leaf did the right thing by the other customers, like I said. But don't expect necessarily that Panini and Topps are going to be able to do the same thing because, yeah. like what Dan was saying, like, they you know, the Player Association, they have all the leverage.
And if you guys want some Leaf Metal basketball, I know somebody that has a decent amount. I mean, I don't know. How much do you think he's paying those guys?
I don't know, but I'm still chasing that Giannis and Steph that's apparently on the checklist.
I opened a jumbo box yesterday. And
you know anybody?
No.
Wait, thing. You didn't know anybody?
Not one person.
It's all like future prospects. That's why. Yeah, it's that's what I tell people when I break it. I'm like, you're not gonna.
Prospects,
yeah, you're
man.
Not gonna know anybody on here. But hope, you know, maybe in a couple years, few
maybe
years.
Maybe it's a never.
Man, that is a bold sales tactic, yeah. Conrad.
I mean, the product
before
is
you even open it up, you're all. All right, let you know right now. You're not gonna have any idea who these players are.
No, granted, there is some 2021 NBA rookies in there. There is Giannis and Steph, which is a big draw. But a majority of the checklist are guys that nobody has heard of because they're just they're guys that have you know are still in high school
under
or
the radar. Under the radar is basically what it is. It could be the biggest sleeper.
So you're
product.
Saying I couldn't be in there because my autograph's worth at least $130.
Yeah.
And that was my
exactly.
prospect auto.
So. Exactly. But I mean
you could be in there, but you'd have to you'd replace Steph.
But that's what we're dealing with now, right? Because now like with the college deals where these kids can make money now, they can sign stuff early, right? And for the most part, people don't pay attention to guys right until right before they're gonna be drafted.
And I know we're kicking this poor Leaf, we do a lot of their products and they make great products, but you know, like I don't know if the NIL is like gonna hit with collectors because it's like it may be something we need to see down the line, like, but then at that point, once it's down the line, then they're going to have rookie autos that people are going to want, right? So it's like, I don't know. I don't know if there's, like, it's a trial and error process, and maybe it never works, and they stop making them, but, like, I opened that product. I opened a jumbo and a hobby, and maybe that's a small sample size, and we sold it under our cost via auction, and I even though the person got a great deal, I felt bad. Like, the person got, like, way under cost, and I was like, I mean, there was a 101 in one of them and a printing plate, which I hate printing plates, but that's besides the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, there's
I think
nobody.
I think it really depends. I mean, we don't know the inner workings and how much these manufacturers are paying for these NIL deals.
Right.
So, I mean, if it's working out to like anywhere from 15 to like $50 like an auto, then I mean, that's where we're getting the price point at, right?
Well,
like the retail
what
for
is
the
it?
Box.
What is it? It's like $199 for a jumbo, which is 10 autographs. So you got to figure he's got to be at least being cost averages at $10.
And I think the NIL, I think there is, we've talked about this before, I think there definitely is a place for those products, especially when college football season is, and we're in the middle of college football season, and some of those like big players that are doing well and, you know, big programs, those cards could have a really, really good short-term like flip potential. But you're right. Like, once you start getting the collegiate stuff and they get drafted, then you start getting their, like, you know, on their drafted team, true rookie cards. No one's going to go back and go, well, I want the auto that was his first auto from his NIL when he was 19.
Well, and we haven't gotten to the point, and maybe there will be a guy, and I think we've talked about this before, is if Zion Williamson had an NIL deal, that would be a different story when he was in Duke or whatever.
True.
Then you're going to be like, everybody knew his name.
But true.
But there hasn't been a name that's really out
there.
But
again,
it's
a short-term window, right? Because at some point, said player is going to have cards on their team that they get drafted by. And those cards are going to sell for more than the NIL stuff. I don't think there is, without any question, that is how the market is going to dictate, right?
And I think, too, you've seen, like, Topps has tried to, I think, capitalize on that in, like, with not the NIL, but, like, that Trevor Lawrence set they had. I think they have a Chet Holmgren set right now where they're trying to capitalize, like, we're the first in the market.
Bryce
and
Young.
And it's, like, a sleek design, too. So they're saying, like, it feels like an elevated product. But, yeah, no one's talking about as good as they look. No one's really talking about that Trevor Lawrence
set.
Yeah,
I mean, I think as soon as you get the collegiate product to come out, then the NIL falls by the wayside.
Yeah. Or the overtime elite, too.
And we've already seen what happens to the collegiate products when there's pro unis.
Yeah.
It just falls in line. Like, the collegiate stuff still has a value, but as soon as the pro stuff comes out,
right,
it's worth about half of what it was before.
Well, since we're on the topic of rookies, we want to talk about the 2022 NFL Rookie Photo Shoot and Rookie Premiere. If you're not familiar with what that event is, that is the event that Panini gets most of their autographs of all the rookies that are coming in. I believe there's like 40 to 50 typically every year. And, you know, we're ushering in this new rookie class, headlined probably by Kenny Pickett, I would say. Heavy defensive draft, so we'll see what football cards do. But me and Dan were in L.A. at the premiere, and we did a GTS event, which was one of our distributors. And they had seven guys there. It was Aiden Hutchinson. It was Breece Hall from the Jets. It was Garrett Wilson from the Jets. It was Chris Olave from the Saints, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Matt Corral, quarterback for the Panthers, and the Notre Dame safety who's on the Ravens. It's Kyle Montgomery.
Dude's a safety?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he was a linebacker.
No, he's a big guy.
Dude.
Damn.
Yeah, for the and you know what stuck out? It was, you know, Aiden Hutchinson's presence up there. I know defensive guys don't sell, but this guy was a Michigan-born kid, went to Michigan, and now he's in the Lions. So it's a good story if he can, you know, bring the Lions back to, you know, being a contender again after losing Stafford, after, you know, having Goff out there and winning a couple games last year. I think it's a great story. I think the kid
– he can just throw the ball. Do everything.
The kid was a phenomenal speaker. Almost reminded me of like a Jim Harbaugh-esque. I know he was underneath him, or a lot of like Howie Long. You know, like maybe a young Howie Long being able to maybe broadcast later on in his life. He had a very good presence. And one thing that really stuck out at me was the fact that everybody was picking their cheat meals on what they cheat. And a lot of people said In-N-Out Burger, and he said In-N-Out Burger is overrated. And me and Dan,
I already don't like him.
Yeah, he's wrong. So,
well,
and he said he liked Five Guys better, and I was like, yes. And so it became near and dear to my heart to hear that statement. At that moment I was wearing my In-N-Out overrated shirt. I wasn't, because then I could have gotten some press out of it. But
I like how you said all the other rookies though, besides him, which means that In-N-Out is actually not overrated.
No,
not all of them.
He gets it. I almost gave him a standing ovation after he said that. He's going to be good. As a defensive player, it's going to be tricky. Yeah. It's going to be tricky. But out of the gate, he could be in the top five in value.
Yeah.
Because the quarterbacks, I don't know. I mean, it's a deep receiver class. Matt Corral
seemed like a good dude.
I like him. I think he might be somebody you want to pick up. Not necessarily because it's like his interview that he did with us was outstanding. It was good. But Sam Darnold, I don't think is the future or maybe even the present there. And I don't think it's going to take much for Coral to kind of leapfrog him in training camp. And maybe one of the first rookie quarterbacks named a starting quarterback for their team.
And he's got the quarterback look.
Kind of looks like Jimmy Garoppolo.
I was going to say that. He's easy on the eyes. I mean, he's going to put some people in the seats for that reason.
Some meat in the seats.
And it seems to carry himself well. Not real tall, though. I would say maybe 6'1", maybe.
Everybody's taller than me.
But, you know, and actually I was impressed with all the guys that sat down. They all were very well spoken. Just, you know, good answers. I mean, we've been there in the past. There's been some really short answers, guys that didn't look like they wanted to be there. These guys all fully seem like they wanted to be there, even though it's really weird when they bring them in because everybody's sitting down to eat, and there's probably about 100 of us in the room, and then they're, like, put on stage in front of us with mics, and it's kind of like everybody's looking at me. It's probably a moment they don't have that much of in their lives because they're young men.
We're just slamming food down.
Yeah.
Just, like, eating.
And majority of us in this room are far from being athletic looking, so you know, you got that dynamic going on.
Hey, speak for yourself.
I know.
I am. I totally am.
I'm all, wait a second. I mean, they actually were going to have me go up there, but I was like, oh, I didn't get drafted this year.
But you are the fastest group breaker in the world.
I am by far. Well,
we're putting that to the test at the National.
I actually,
well, not only are you the fastest runner out of all group breakers, you claim to be the fastest sorter in the land, too.
Okay, hold on. Breaker?
No,
running. Out of all breakers?
Oh. Yeah, like a 40.
I was like, because you take your time. You like you make sure the cards aren't damaged when you're breaking.
Dude, I go stats on the back. I slow it down. Yeah, it's like watching paint dry, man. I pride myself in the fact that, like, I actually, for breaking, I might be the slowest.
I mean, that's better than slamming the cards on the table and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
He never wore a glove in his life either.
Talking running. But also, sorting.
Sorting, I 1,000% believe you.
I doubt there is a group breaker out there. I'm not. You can't pick a sorter either. Like, you have to be somebody who breaks. I don't think anybody can sort faster than I can.
Yeah.
While running.
I agree.
Yeah, you're definitely hyped as a number one prospect in that field.
Oh, yeah.
If there was a draft.
Again, like, Panini was bringing me up there, and I'm like, oh, you guys know I didn't get drafted.
I mean, you are kind of more, I mean, you are headed to, like, you know, like how they have, like, the PGA Tour. You're, like, more on the senior tour now, but, like, so yeah. If you're in that class, you're by far the fastest sorter. Now, I don't know if you got some guys that are, like, in their 20s. They might be a little faster than you, man. I don't know.
You mean where you're taking your talents?
Yeah. Yep, I got picked up. You don't even know the deal that they signed for me.
Just blank crazy. Check.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, platinum.
Maybe.
Platinum
maybe
watches.
Page and Flawless.
Yeah. Yeah. Triple logo, man.
Nud. Yeah, good. Who knows?
So what do you guys think about this, you know, these notable rookies? I mean, it seems very doom and gloom-esque, but I do have hope that there's a lot of good spots that these guys are in. What do you think?
For me, you know, obviously the draft was like tackle, defensive end, or whatever, but Panini's a smart company, right? They had guys come out that a lot of offensive positions. So in terms of like the hobby, I think we're gonna be fine. You know, there's gonna be quarterbacks to chase, wide receivers to chase, running backs to chase. I'm kind of curious about the number one pick. Like, did they pay? Because, you know, we had that thing with was it Myles Garrett years ago, right, where he wanted quarterback number one money and Panini didn't want to give him that or something. I'm kind of curious how much they gave this number one pick right here.
Well, we don't know if they gave anybody. I mean, we know that the whoever was at the rookie photo shoot, we know that they probably got inked to a deal.
Yeah.
Was he not there? I didn't know that.
He wasn't on stage.
Yeah, he wasn't on stage.
But he was there at the RPS.
I don't know.
There was an RPS photo. Let's pull that one up. If there's a Jaguar guy, right? I mean, should be.
Sorry, I just assumed that everybody on that list was there.
They were scheduled to be there. Everybody on that list was scheduled. Okay. Not sure if everybody made it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they probably were then. Yeah, I don't. We're gonna. I think they actually said that they're gonna have 4 or 5 defensive players.
Yeah, they're gonna have the most they've ever had. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they have a choice in that matter. I'm trying to see. Is it time to be? Are we gonna panic on this draft, Cody? Or what do you think? You think it's gonna figure itself out?
No, I think you're gonna find. I mean, I think there's one of two things gonna happen here. One, somebody's gonna break out because a lot of times people
inevitably
break out.
There could always be that 5th, 6th, or 7th round quarterback.
Yeah.
The dude the Niners drafted in the Mr. Irrelevant. That guy could be starting.
You never know.
It's a quarterback room that isn't very solid right now. So
well, it's. You know, let's not go crazy.
We have too much talent.
No, they're actually. Rumors are that it's who is it? Brock Purdy,
mm-hmm.
named starting quarterback.
49ers. I could see that Brock for the 49ers. Purdy. Yeah,
I mean.
Oh, he's there.
Okay, so he
right
was there.
Trayvon Walker,
nice number too. 44. I like that
44.
Number.
44.
I think though, it's basically going to be either there's been enough. Good years, basically, to make up for maybe one bump in the road here. There's been so many great young QBs that if there's a little bump in the road, I think everything's going to be fine. But I also think that there's all these situations for the QBs are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny Pickett, a guy from a local kid, going to be probably the starter if things go right. Malik Willis, I know the Ryan Tannehill thing's kind of some drama right now, but like, I think that for the hobby, he may actually be the guy to go after because he's probably not going to get any playing time. And if Tannehill starts looking bad and starts showing age, then his value is just going to keep going up. And then, yeah, Corral and Desmond Ridder are also both in positions where they could be potentially starters at midseason. So it's not crazy. It's crazy to think that things might be okay here. Huh? And there's a lot of good wide receivers, and wide receiver classes the last few years in the hobby have been better.
100%. I'm confident Fanatics will definitely be able to figure out this NFL draft class and make sure products sell.
I get it. I get what you're saying. There's also a chance that dude, I heard you. I heard you. I'm staying on topic is what I do.
I just slipped. I meant Panini.
I don't even listen to that stuff.
I meant Panini.
Man. I talk about the truth.
The truth.
No. What was I saying again? Oh, there could be zero.
There could be
zero quarterbacks that are starting week one that are rookie quarterbacks.
I actually would say nobody is going to be starting right. week one. Maybe Pickett, but I think Pickett
probably has the best chance, but if I had to bet on that, I would say it's no better than 50-50
yeah.
right
who,
now.
Who do they have there? Who's their starter?
Mason Rudolph
still?
And
Trubisky, I think is the guy that is going to try to be the starter for that team. I think he's probably the favorite at this point.
Isn't having Trubisky or Mason Rudolph a safer bet?
Yes. Initially is a much safer bet until one of those guys just shows that they can't do it and Pickett proves it.
I think Pickett, in order for him to get that job, training camp, he has to be far above everybody else who's in that quarterback
room.
If he is performing at around the same level, they're going to go with the veteran presence.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, I mean, Trubisky, just a couple years ago, not even that long ago, he was touted as the best rookie quarterback by some people in that draft.
And he was only 1 year out of college, too.
And that was, if I'm not mistaken, 2017?
Yeah.
I mean,
2017, there was people going like, Trubisky, well over Patrick Mahomes.
Well, he was the first quarterback taken.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the Nickelodeon MVP here, the MVP of the first Nickelodeon game.
The Bears never get anything wrong.
Yeah, well, that's when they traded, and did we get Solomon Thomas? Yeah,
you guys got
out.
It right.
Didn't work out for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, things are working either way, unfortunately.
Either way, it didn't work
Bigger
out.
Bigger bust, Javon Kinlaw or Solomon Thomas?
Well, I think, you know what, I've learned my lesson. Don't say anything.
Oh, you're right. They're not that far away either. You can just come down here. I don't want to. I'm not throwing shade.
I'm on the internet. All right. I know there's a lot of speculation about the market going down, and you know these stats that we're going to show you here kind of confirms that. Is it a situation of the economy? Is it don't look at your Bitcoin? Because I don't look at my Bitcoin anymore. I deleted my app.
Don't look at your stocks.
I don't look at stocks either. But is it time to buy? I mean, you look at some of these. We're in the middle of baseball season, so we can't really – well, at the beginning of baseball season, we can't really say it's – off-season. Like, you could say NBA is not selling because it's the playoffs. These teams aren't playing. NFL is not selling because it's not NFL season. Well, it is baseball season, so we can look at these numbers. And Trout's 2011 update is down from May 2021 till now, so the year ago from today. It is down about 27%. A card that, you know, this guy is performing at a very high level this year, outperforming what he was outperforming last year. They have a winning record. So, and then you can go to Juan Soto, very similar, down 20% on his chrome. And then you look at Wander. It's had some peaks and valleys, still kind of new booty in the hobby, but down 8%. So it's kind of a two-parter. Is it time to buy, and why do you think this is happening?
Oh, man. I'm assuming we're only talking baseball.
I wanted to stay current, like I'm talking saying, because of the performance. Because of the performance of these guys.
Man, that Trout card, very iconic, but there's a lot of them.
It's a lot of them.
I don't even need to look at the pop report. I can just see all the squiggly lines up there. That's a lot.
That's a year sold.
That's a lot. And that is scary. The pop report on that Trout is scary. I'm probably not buying that card. Now, do I think it's a good time to buy Trout? Sure, at a discount. Not that card. I would, again, going to be hard to find his first Bowman auto at a decent price.
Maybe the 2011 Bowman draft version of the
maybe
rookie card?
Trout, I think we've already talked. I go with that first chrome, and I know it's really, really expensive, but if that is also trending down, I think that is a card that you jump on. As far as, right now you always see an uptick after the All-Star break. I think we're still really early in the baseball season that people may be selling right now. And I think you will see it start to catch up when it gets later in the season, especially if Mike Trout is on his way to the playoffs, another MVP.
Or do you guys think, and I'll pose this question to C-Rad, because if you go back a year, it was still a lot of lockdowns, still a lot of things that were, you know, we weren't in the height of it, but we weren't necessarily out of what was happening in the world. And do you think that now that people are having more money to go out is kind of affecting it? You know, they're not having more, they don't have as many disposable income because they're going to Hawaii or they're going to Puerto Rico, travel's at an all-time high right now. Do you think it was just a matter of time before this kind of trickled down a little bit?
Yeah, I think I'm with the belief that is just like somewhat part of what you were saying, market correction.
Yeah.
Just in general, not just with sports cards. Like, I personally believe, like I look at my sports cards and the stocks and crypto kind of the same way, right? It's like when it's going down, like everything moves in accordance with each other. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, people just have less money to spend. People need to offload what's, you know, because they're fearful that it might go down even more. So I think it is some market correction from the, you know, from the pandemic years. For me, like, to the original question, like, these moments are actually times when I'm excited to buy, right? There's things that I might not necessarily been able to, the cards that I like. My advice is always buy the cards that you like, especially you should be excited now because you can get them for cheaper now, right? When it is like a downturn a little bit on the market as a whole. So for me, I'm definitely buying right now.
Yeah, and what I've heard from, you know, we should do shows more, but obviously we will be at the National, is that shows are kicking. Like, they're packed. People are selling. And that goes back to me thinking about these people that are in these cards are turning into cash, right? So because of this. But that is getting somebody else getting into the car that's going to eventually need to sell it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's market correction is good. I mean, instead of having 1,000 hot players that are selling for way over they need, maybe there's only 100 or 200, and that's probably more healthy than what we were doing and a lot of people getting burned. But what's your opinion on
that? I think actually getting back to the show circuit, from what I've seen is that there's a lot of people who are not buying and selling, but they're doing more trading. They're trying to get out of certain cards and get into other cards without actually trying to move money back and forth.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of people like that bought at 3,600 on this trout, and you can see that it's around 2,600, and they have it priced at 3,500 at their booth, and somebody's like, I'll give you 2,600, and they're like, I can't. You know what I mean? Because they're not willing to take.
True,
that
but
even
I,
though the market is correctly at 2,600,
but somebody might be. Well, I got this Obsidian rookie auto of John Morant.
Yeah.
Now, person can get out of their trout card and into a John Morant. Maybe they're like, next year John Morant could win an MVP,
right.
have a long stretch in the playoffs, kind of on the uptick of maybe his potential market.
Sure.
So I think you're seeing a lot of that.
What do you think, Cody?
I think there's a mix of just what happens, I think, when the season starts. It's that preseason hype. I think you can even see on those charts we were showing, there's a spike right around spring training or potentially when spring training would have started. And there's another spike for most of these cards when the lockout was lifted, especially the Trout card. I noticed, like, literally the week the lockout's lifted, there's a spike because everybody was getting in on these cards. There's other guys that everyone's focused on. I think it's interesting, though, that the Wander stuff has gone down a little bit, because he's kind of come back to earth. He's not like performing at the level that he was a season ago. He's still doing fine, but definitely not performing at that same level. And yeah, kind of to see Rath's point too, this is kind of the ebbs and flows of things. But if you're looking at any of these guys, I think for Soto, I'll pin him up personally because you know me.
We know
Juan
you
Soto.
Love Soto.
I love the guy. Future Giant Juan Soto.
I mean, is that Juan Soto or is that Ted Williams?
I
don't know.
Tough to tell sometimes.
I don't know.
Really tough to tell sometimes.
Future Yankee, Juan
Soto. I think this kind of plays into why his stuff is going downward, is that there's so much uncertainty about what his future is. It sounds like the Nationals could trade him as soon as this midseason. So if that happens, I think it doesn't completely
tear up his value. How do you feel if you're a Nationals fan right now?
Absolutely destroyed. Your team won the World Series in 2019. Then you didn't get to celebrate that World Series.
And this is the absolute face of your franchise. The cornerstone that you're going to build the next 10 years around. And you're like, better package him up for some prospects.
You know what? In my mind, I was thinking, wow, Juan Soto and this Nationals team, they, without Bryce Harper, they're going to be just fine. Without Rendon, they're going to be fine.
Well, I mean, it's hard to replace Bryce Harper.
It's very, well, yes, but they successfully did for a season.
You know how
they won
I feel about
series.
Bryce Harper.
Yes, and I like Bryce Harper almost as much as you do, not quite.
Hard, well, impossible. Yeah.
But I think with that team now, it's becoming clear that was the final hurrah for, like, the Scherzer, Strasburg, Rendon core, and Soto coming up at such a young age was almost like an accident.
You know what the key is for baseball is don't win championships.
Yeah,
as a player, because starting
just as a franchise,
you know, Soto is about. You know what Soto's about to become? He's about to become the next Miguel Cabrera
or Buster Posey. I mean, different positions,
well,
but like,
yeah.
You look at the guys that have won championships, their cards sell for a lot less than the guys that haven't won championships.
So that's the Guardians, right? That's been their whole philosophy, I take it.
Yes. Yeah.
Just whatever you do, don't win a championship.
Yeah, don't win.
Mike Trout
don't win
sells well. Chris Bryant doesn't sell well.
Because he won a championship.
Right.
Mike Trout, a little bit better baseball player than Chris Bryant. Just throw
Juan
it
out.
I was reading something. I don't know where. They had ranked as the most overrated baseball players in the league. I think Chris Bryant was like number two on that list.
He's up there. We saw it last year. No offense. The guy was a good guy.
I mean, he's right up there with Bryce Harper with me. I love me some Chris Bryant.
I saw a lot of Chris Bryant at bats in orange and black last year, and I was not as impressed as I wanted to be.
He had a good playoff run, though.
Decent. So I mean, how many games?
I love him like
$180
million, but...
I'd
like him for a 2-year $36 million.
He's in Colorado. Colorado's in last place, right?
They're in last place, but they're like every team in that division is like either at 500 or like just below. Like it's an
and is
incredibly
he hurt right now?
He's already had a stint. He just got off a DL, but he's had a stint on the IL.
Yeah,
that's what they call it now. Not the disabled list, the injured list.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I think of all three of these. I mean, if you can find any Trout right now for, it's weird to say he's a bargain, But he kind of, compared to what he's been, I mean, compare him to the 2020 prices. They didn't even see that on the chart. The 2020 prices are just absolutely nuts for Trout. He's right now, I think, if Aaron Judge is probably your AL MVP, but only because they don't want to give it to Mike Trout again. Right. He is the best player in baseball,
like Curry.
Again.
Yeah. All right, guys. That is it for this episode of The Hype. Make sure you guys follow us at MojoBreak_com on Twitter and hit subscribe here on YouTube. Breaks 7 days a week on MojoBreak.com, and those are broadcasted on YouTube. We also are on Whatnot, so go to our Whatnot page. Make sure you bookmark. Do a lot of giveaways. We're doing crazy auctions over there. And then MojoBreakShop.com for your boxes. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.